I got a big butt. It's gigantic, if I'm going to be blunt about it. And you know what? The funny thing is, I got several big butts. And before you discard me or wince at the disgusting notion of that, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that possibly you have at least one big butt as well. Yeah, you like that? Hurts a little, huh? Let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something, okay? Everybody we know has a big butt. And more often than not, it's the thing that actually gets in the way of us living a consistent life for Jesus. I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to expound a little bit, okay? See if you can recognize some of these butts. But I have to work more. But my favorite TV show is on. But my kids have practice. But I got to tweet something. But it's such a beautiful day. But I'm just not in the mood. But I deserve a break today. You see, everything kind of interferes with my life of just living an authentic life for God, okay? And more often than not, it always has something to do with some sort of butt, okay? Even the littlest butt can distract me. It really can. The littlest butt can make me think, well, I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to think about it today. I'm not going to deny myself. I'm not going to read the Bible, blah, blah, blah. Whatever God asked me to do, I seem to have a butt for it and get away, okay? And the most horrendously big butt of all time is the butt that gets in the way of me just hanging out with God and reading His Word. It's true. Think about it. All the times you're about to open that, and all of a sudden a big giant butt gets in the way. A butt. Much like one of these. But I got a farm bill, but I'm tired, but the game's over, but I read last Tuesday, but I gotta check Facebook, but I don't like Leviticus, but it's too hot in here, but I just don't like books, but I don't understand it, but it's boring. But what does that have to do with me in the 21st century? Those are some ugly butts, people. Let's just call them what they are, ugly. Ugly butts. Okay? And there's a lot more to them, sad but true. Here's a list, although not exhaustive, of some of the most popular butts known to mankind. But I don't have enough money yet. But others will think that I'm a nerd if I carry the Bible. But they won't like me if I talk about Jesus. But I don't know if God will do what I ask. But I just can't get motivated. But I'm afraid. But I don't have all the answers. But the small group is the same night as Monday Night Football. But can't I just let my life speak for itself? But I'm not happy. But that's not my gift. But that's the pastor job. But I don't know how to pray. But I can't believe that. But I don't know where to start. But everybody else is having fun. Butts abound, friend. But. Here a butt, there a butt. Everywhere a butt. Okay? And the most overused butt of all time, but I just don't have enough time. Really? Oh, come on. We have a lot of butts. God has given us a real simple word. Okay? If we learn it, and we share it, and we teach it, and we live by it, then see, God gets glorified, people benefit, and then we get blessed. That's why we do what we do. That's the why behind the butt. Okay? And ultimately, that's the whole point I'm trying to make here, my fellow butt lovers, is if your butt is bigger than your why, then your butt's too big. Okay? It's time to, metaphorically speaking, snap into a Slim Jim. Okay, let's slap on some spiritual shape-ups and hit the road a little bit so we can just manage the butts a little bit. That's all we're trying to do. That's what we're talking about. Let's minimize the excuses. Let's shrink the butts. Shrink the butts. Say it with me. Shrink the butts. That's what we need to do. And you and I can do that together. We can conquer this. You and I can do it if we start today, okay? I know we can. Let's just do it. No ifs, ands, or... Yeah. Now you can get it.
Okay, everybody say it with me now, together, ready? Shrink the butt, shrink the butt, shrink the butt. How many got big butts in the house? Be honest, Mike, you're in church, yeah. Yeah, we all got them. We all got these excuses. Take out your notes, we're going to be talking about excuses that we come across all the time. Just try and get away from what we're supposed to do. Well, it's August, and it's the start of August, yeah. Football. It's the start of football season. Jared is looking forward to this new season. He played a year of Pop Warner last season. They went undefeated, went to play their final game in the Aloha Stadium. So he was looking forward so much to this new season. So first day comes, he's all excited. We get to the field, and it's all about conditioning. So they did their sprints. They did their crawl, their bear crawl. They did their shuffles. He got off the field after 2.5 hours of conditioning. He said, Dad, this is fun. I said, all right, good. Next day we get there. He says, Dad, my neck is a little sore. My legs are a little sore. I said, well, you want to practice? Oh, yeah, let's do it. So he gets there, and guess what he found? More conditioning, more sprints, more bear crawls, more running, and the hill. They got to run the hill this time. Gets off the field. He looked very tired, but he got in the car, went home. Third day of practice. Said, Jared, come on, let's get ready. He says, do I have to go today? I said, yeah, you have to go. But I didn't get my snack yet. That's okay, we got to go anyway. So he goes and he practices more sprints, more bear crawls, more everything. He gets off the field. He's quite frustrated now. Fourth day of practice. I said, Jared, let's go. You know what he said to me? I hate football. Why do you make me play this game? And of course, I'm a loving father. I want just the best for my son. So I looked at him and I said, suck it up, kid. Come on, we're going to go to football. You're going to finish what you committed to. A lot of times we make commitments, but when the going gets tough, we come up with excuses, don't we? August is the start of school. He started school. First day, he said, I got homework. Who gives homework on the first day of school? Second day, he said exact words to his mom. He says, I hate homework. I'm going to call the governor to make it illegal to give homework. We are always trying to get out of things that we're supposed to do. What are we responsible for? We laugh about kids, but adults, we're no different, are we? Here's some real-life claim forms that were submitted to the insurance company. The claim forms that people who are trying to get out of being blamed for their accident. This guy wrote in his claim form. He said the pedestrian had no idea which way he was going, so I ran him over. Adults are writing this stuff. My mom, who just turned 95, no longer driving. Let me tell you why. We got to her house one day. I looked at her car. Front grill was dented in. I said, what happened, Mom? She said, well, I was at this intersection. I was behind this car. The light turned green, and the guy didn't go. I said, all right? So I had to help him. I said, no, you don't get to help him. But the accident wasn't her fault. It was the guy's fault. He didn't go. We come up with excuses all the time, don't we? Even as Christians. Christians in our Christian walk. We come to New Hope the first year. Ah, this is great, man. I never heard music like this. This is wonderful. We leave service feeling really good and excited. Second year comes around. We come into service and we think, this music, didn't we sing this song last week? Didn't that pastor say the same joke as he did before? Third year comes around. Parking off campus? You want me to park where? You want me to wear a name tag? Who wears name tags anymore? Look around. Who wears name tags anymore? Fourth year comes around. Go to service? Why do I have to get dressed up to go to service? Thank God for the internet, man. I can just watch it on TV. I see you guys watching it. You're in your bibbidis right now. You're sitting on your lounge chair. Yeah. You know, we come up with all these excuses why we shouldn't follow through with the commitment we made. Excuses. All the time. We laugh about these excuses, but little do we realize that to everything in life, folks, there are consequences. Even when we make excuses to get away from what God has asked us to do, there are consequences. The Lord gives us a great illustration of this in the book of Luke. It's in your top of your notes there. It's an illustration that comes out of a parable. Jesus gives us lessons through stories. They're called parables. And this one is about a man, a rich man. As you read through the parable and you make the connection, Jesus is really talking about our Heavenly Father. He talks about this man who gives this great banquet, this great meal. Let's read what happened there. Let's read Luke, top of your notes. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. Excuses existed over 2,000 years ago. It's not new news to us. We've been like that from the beginning of time, the garden, where the Lord looked at Adam, and Adam said what? Not my fault. It's the woman you gave me, God. And the woman says, not me, it was a serpent. We're always trying to pass on responsibility, making excuses. These men who were invited to this dinner, this man gave the best banquet ever. There was a feast that you could never imagine what was on that table. It had the best food at this banquet. What would you say was on this table if it was the best banquet for you? What would you say was on the table? What do you say?
Papa John's pizza.
You got to take your boy out a little bit more, man. He's got to experience life. Okay, let's say Papa John's pizza, right? Papa John's pizza, we'll give you that. What else would be on the table?
Tabbouleh salad.
Vegetarian. Papa John's pizza. All right, I want somebody to give me a good feast here. What would be on the table? Huh?
Prime rib.
Prime rib, man. I mean, it's like garlic-crusted peppercorn over the top. It's roasted to perfection, so when you cut it, that crust just cracks open, and it's made medium rare, so all the juices just flow out of there. Prime rib, Papa John's pizza, tabbouleh salad. All right, what else is on this feast? What do you think? What do you think?
Lobster.
Lobster. Oh, man. Not just lobster, a mound of Maine lobster that's steaming. You can see the steam coming out of there. And you take your cracker and you open up that claw and the juices just flow down your arm. Lobster with the drawn butter on the side and with garlic inside, garlic infused. Yeah, butter, drawn butter, yeah. So we got some great Maine lobster there. We got tabbouleh salad. We got Papa John's pizza. We have prime rib. Give me something else. One more. Huh? Garlic mashed potatoes. All right. That's okay. That's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Tell me.
Sashimi.
Sashimi. There you go. Sashimi. Yeah. You got some hamachi. You got some maguro. You got the otoro. You got, oh, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. The best feast ever. You could not imagine anything more on that table. He had everything on a table. He invited them to come, not charging admission now. The best part about this whole feast was the fact that it was, now Chinese, listen up, it was free. It was complete. Read the story. He didn't say, I'm having a potluck, would you mind bringing some food? Nobody had to bring anything. You didn't have to pay for this meal. It was absolutely free. It was the best feast ever. And what did these men do? They made excuses. You know what excuses they gave? First guy said, well, I bought this piece of property, and I got to go check it out first, so I'll be right back. The other guy said, well, I bought 5 oxen, and these 5 oxen, I got to go inspect it before I put my name to it, so hang on just a second. Third guy said, well, I just got married, and I think I better go check on my wife first. I'll be back. Now, 3 good excuses. I'm not going to invalidate those excuses. Culturally, you don't put your name to a piece of paper that buys property unless you inspect the property first. 5 oxen were like buying a Mercedes or something very expensive. You're not going to pay over and fork over the money for that unless you test drive the car. You want to check it out. This guy who got married, he had some good counsel. They said, make sure you put your wife first. And so he went and he had to go take care of his wife first. All great excuses. So what was the big deal? You follow this story. The man who put on this feast, the king, the Bible says he got very angry. Very angry. And he said to his slave, forget those guys. Go into the highways and byways and you bring in everybody else into this feast. Bring them all into this feast. And he said this, verse 24 in Luke. Go read this after when we're done. He says, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall ever taste of my dinner. Now, why? Was that so unfair? There were legitimate reasons why they couldn't come at that moment. What was the Lord really saying there? He says, you know, sometimes, folks, there's sometimes I'm going to give you opportunities that are the best opportunities for your lives. They're the best ever. You cannot imagine what that ever is going to taste like. And I need you to really look at your lives and make some choices, some tough choices. They're not going to be easy. But if I'm offering you the best, what these gentlemen were saying to him, I got something that's maybe a little bit more important than your stuff, God, so let me go take care of this first. And the Lord says, when you miss opportunities like that, the window may just shut. And you miss it. I'll give an invitation to you for the best life ever. How many of you believe that God has the best life ahead of you? He does. He really does. And I believe in that too. That's why there's sometimes, folks, I will challenge you. I will challenge me. Some messages will be convicting. Oh, that hurts. I don't like what he's saying. You got to be okay with that because sometimes we have to put things together. See, they're easy choices between good and bad, between what's moral and what's immoral. A lot of those decisions are easy to make, what's right and what's wrong. But what about when it comes between what is good and what is best for your life? Someone said it this way. They said, sometimes you got to know how to say no to the good in order to say yes to the best. And God has the best plans for our lives. But we got to make some decisions and quit making excuses. Sometimes we say, well, you know, the best for your life is you have to forgive that person. Ah, he doesn't deserve forgiveness. Let me just wait a little bit. I got to get it right within me first. And the Lord is saying, no, I need you to forgive now. Oh, I don't want to, and bang, the window closes. Window to what? You will never know. Those men never got to taste the feast. Well, what is it like if I do forgive? You show me what's in it for me first. The Lord says, you will never know. Because when I ask you to do something, you got to do it. Well, maybe you should ask for forgiveness. I'm not ready yet. See, the pride level is still there. I'm not ready. Let's just, either you're ready or you're not. Opportunity is open for you. Do it now. Oh, I don't know. Bang. Opportunity closes. Opportunity for what? You will never know. Talk about tithing. You know, maybe you need to tithe. There's a difference between tithing and offering now. Sometimes we get that mixed up. Tithing is, the Bible says, you're 10%. You kick in that 10%. Offering is anything over and above that. So it's not a matter of giving a donation to this cause, this cause, this cause, and saying, well, I just tithe. It's not that. The Bible says you give 10% unto the Lord first. Everything else above that is your offering. Well, I already gave, you make all these excuses, and the Lord says, well, you know, I've asked you to tithe, and if you don't, opportunities will be missed. Well, what kind? You will never know. See what I'm saying? There are consequences to when we make excuses a lot. And what I hope to have you receive today is, how do we get around that? How do we overcome excuses? Because we all make them. That's just our nature. We're wired like that, to not immediately just obey something. I was driving, and the Lord just prompted my heart. Call Pastor Wayne. And I'm driving, God. He says, call your brother Wayne. I looked in the mirror, there's a policeman right behind me. And I got nailed once already for calling in the car. And I looked in the mirror, and they upped the price, yeah, for the fine. And I'm driving, and I said, but there's a policeman behind me. He says, call Pastor Wayne. I said, Lord, he's not worth $150 in a fine. Just call Pastor Wayne. And right at that moment, the policeman turned the corner, went the other way, came to a stoplight. I touched my phone real fast, and I stuck it, you know, on speaker. This is the pocket hands-free. I stuck it in between my strap belt like this on speakerphone. And he said, hey, Owen. I said, how you doing, Wayne? He goes, I'm fine. What you up to? I said, well, the Lord just prompted my heart to call you. I don't know why. Maybe I'm going to football, you know, the violence of football. I don't know why. I just had to call you. The Lord just prompted my heart. He said, well, that's so good about your heart. You're so obedient to what he's asking you to do. There was no big deal. There was no news that he was going through a rough time or anything. The Lord just prompted me to call, and I needed to call. What about you? When the Lord is asking you to do something, are there excuses? We're going to talk about that today, and I'm going to do a service a little different. I'm going to give you the answers to those two blanks, all right? So get ready to fill them in. How do we overcome these excuses? How do we eliminate them from our lives? Number one, would you write this in? It takes discipline. Right? So the Lord says, discipline yourself. Nobody's going to discipline you for yourself. Only you can. Discipline yourself for the sake of godliness. You can discipline your bodies, but it's of little profit. It's godliness that's profitable for all things, for the present and for the life to come. So the first one is discipline. It takes discipline. Also, to overcome these excuses, it takes, number two, it takes faith. Write that in the other side. It takes faith. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. In other words, to eliminate excuses from your lives, we got to be able to take some risk at some point. It's not going to be easy, but you got to discipline yourselves, and you got to be willing to risk that step. And when we do, with our hearts turned to God, the Lord is a rewarder. He doesn't miss that step. He sees all things. And he will reward your step of faith. Here's someone that's going to help me to teach this lesson to you and to me. He's a young man who's been a part of New Hope for a while, and sometimes we miss the resources that God has placed within our midst. He's a filmmaker. He's been involved in making movies for the last 17, 18 years. He was trained at the University of Southern California, USC, in cinematography. So he is a spoiled child, yeah, the University of Spoiled Children. He then went on to Boston University, as well as he's got his MBA and his law degree from Harvard University. He's a brilliant man. But he's been making Christian faith-based movies for the last 17 years. He has seen things in the world that has prompted him in this direction, but he's seen all the excuses that people come up with all the time. He has made 6 feature films that's been shown all over the world. His latest one is one that's coming up real soon, within this next month. It's called Suing the Devil. Take a look at this clip of Suing the Devil.
Luke O'Brien is suing the devil today.
Luke O'Brien versus Satan.
Yes, Your Honor.
You're suing Satan.
Taking this case seriously?
Well, of course I'm taking it seriously.
Do you honestly believe that that's the devil?
The devil is alive and he's well.
Do you expect the public to actually buy your Satan?
Well, do you expect the public to really buy the fact that you are $12,000 in debt on your credit cards?
I just want to say, huge fan, I adore you, I worship you. I love Kiss.
What?
Kiss.
I hate Kiss. I'm a Tom Jones man.
The best trial lawyers this world has to offer.
Mr. Think Tank.
Ah.
Harvard Law. Mr. Ice. Oxford.
IQ 214.
It's being billed as trial of the century, being seen by audiences around the world.
The verdict should be rendered against him for $8 trillion.
Order! Order!
Mr. O'Brien, have you ever done internet porn?
How can you sit there with that smug look on your face?
Mr. O'Brien, what other racist things have you said?
Are you a racist?
Are you a member of the KKK?
I want you to win it. You hear me? I want you to win it.
Who is Jesus Christ?
You want what's that got to do with anything, Your
Objection.
Honor?
Objection.
Mr. Defendant, will you take the witness stand?
I take sheer delight in creating havoc in the world. What's the matter? Don't you love the music of hell?
I said, get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ!
Would you welcome the producer, the writer, and director of that film, Tim Che, as he comes up. Tim, come on up, man. Hey, Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
Man, thanks.
That's a great, great movie. Come
I've
on, have a
trailer
seat
like a million times, just to let you know.
Yeah? Oh, man.
My wife wants to kill me if I show it again.
Oh. Hey, why suing the devil? Why a movie like that?
Well, you know, Pastor Alan, my mom had just died of cancer, and I was at a stoplight in Malibu, California, and, you know, I sort of said, and it was just a time in my life of just absolute distraughtness. I mean, my mom died too young. She died of lung cancer, and she was a non-smoker. She never smoked any time in her life. And I said, Satan, if you were here right now, I'd sue you, you know, and I think it was like $100 trillion at the time. That's when the light bulb went on. It was like, wow, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And 3 months later, we're filming the movie in Sydney, Australia, with my partner David Terrell, you know, an Australian, and with Hillsong Church, Rebecca St. James. I mean, everyone came to Australia. We had 20 Americans come. My wife came. It was just an incredible time, and it really was a blessing from the Lord. So when you look at excuses. I mean, I could have just sat at home moping and watching, you know, television.
Yeah,
you know,
That's
Two and a Half Men.
That's such a great...
I don't watch that show.
Yeah. You know, you've been through Hollywood, and you have You've seen the Hollywood scene, and the devil is alive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you look at the latest Barna poll, Pastor Owen, and it's like 65% of American Christians don't even believe the devil exists anymore. I mean, that's pathetic, you know? Yeah. 65% of American Christians don't even believe the devil exists anymore. I mean, I guess Jesus was talking to himself, you know? But, I mean, this is the state that we're in right now. And, you know, fortunately, hopefully this film will expose, you know, the devil's greatest lie is that he doesn't exist.
Yeah. How do you see the devil affecting us through Hollywood?
Well, you know, a lot of Christians, Pastor Owen, they don't understand that Hollywood is controlled by five companies. At Time Warner, Disney, you know, et cetera, Sony. And these five companies control 85% of all the content out there. So every television show, every magazine, every book, you know, Borders is closing, but every book is controlled by them. It's a spinmeister kind of thing. They're selling their celebrities, and they're putting their celebrities in jeopardy even to sell their TV shows, their reality shows. And when you go to a supermarket, guys, I mean, be honest, you know, you see these National Enquirer magazines, you can't get away from them, right? You know, my wife and I, we're putting, you know, things on the rack, and we see these things. Imagine if we had a Christian magazine that glorifies Jesus Christ at every supermarket checkout counter. We'd be sued by the ACLU. Isn't that correct, guys? We'd be sued by these guys. So why is it that they can dump their garbage in our face? Even on the airlines, my wife and I are subjected to their garbage. And yet if we showed a Christian movie, they'll never take a Christian movie and show this on Delta Airlines or American Airlines.
Yeah.
Or even Hawaiian Airlines. I know you guys want to know. Yeah. But, and that's why Aloha went bankrupt. I'm playing with you guys. But you know, you'll never see a Christian movie on an airplane, right? Because they'll sue us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how powerful these people are. Don't underestimate them, guys. They are powerful people. And their sole mission is to bring down the cause of Christianity and Jesus Christ. They are very powerful people out there.
And who we're talking about? We're talking about like a conglomeration of 100 different companies that's influencing our lives in different ways?
No, we're talking about five, Pastor Owen, five major companies. And Pastor Owen, if I can give you an example, it's like you and I are teaching this class right here, this large lecture hall. And what if throughout the entire year we just call in the same five people? And I see four people in purple right here. What if we just call in these four people in purple and neglect everyone else? Okay, any questions? Well, I'm sorry, guys. It's just the four guys in purple. You know, and that's how it is with the media companies. You know, they're shutting Christianity out, and it's the public airwaves. Guys, we own the public airwaves. Mm. And these five companies just hijacked the media, and they hijacked all of the television airwaves for their own garbage. Mm. And it's incredible how we just gave it to them with a bowl of porridge in the 1950s. We should have taken Hollywood. We should have just, you know, if anything is communistic in this country, we should have taken over Hollywood. I mean, if I could take over Hollywood, guys, there would only be Tim Che movies. Movie complexes. Yeah. Is there anything else? Well, yeah, you can watch Fireproof, but anything else, you know? Yeah,
but the sad thing about it is that we have these four major companies that control the content of not only the media on screen, but also the printed media. And we do exist in the classroom, as you would say.
Sure.
But the sad thing is that we turn to these four and we say, yeah, you guys are right. Yeah, you set the policy.
Yeah,
so whatever
right.
you print, whatever you show on television, whatever you show in the movie theaters,
right.
that must be right.
Yeah.
That's what we say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you look at these celebrities today who don't deserve 2 seconds. They don't deserve 2 seconds of our time. And you got my wife who's risked her life to go on mission trips, Harlene, who's battling leukemia, who went on mission trips to Nepal. And I know a lot of you guys have done so much for the Lord. You guys should be out in the media, not these other celebrities, these absolutely ridiculous celebrities that we keep seeing again and again perpetrated by these five companies. And we got to wake up to these guys. We're paying them $85 to $125 a month in cable. How much are we giving to the mission field, guys? I mean, these are things that we have to think about.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to mal at you guys on a Sunday morning in beautiful Hawaii.
Yeah, but it's choices we got to make.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and,
exactly
and,
right.
And what you and it's because of lessons you've learned along the way.
Thank you.
Choices
Pastor,
that
yes.
you had to make. Now, I see your resume is just choke with good stuff. MBA, law degree from Harvard. Kind of dangerous, yeah. Two lawyers talking to you about Jesus Christ here, yeah. But you got like the top-notch school giving you these titles and degrees, and yet you choose to make films, and not just films. You've chosen to make Christian films. I don't see the connection. Yeah. Make the connection for us.
Well, first off, Pastor Owen, let me talk to you a little bit about the schooling. You know, my wife has a Master's of Divinity from a seminary, and I can tell you I would trade in all of my degrees, and I would go back in time. And, you know, at the last service, someone came up to me and said, you know, I'm going to Stanford, I'm getting my master's science, but I'm debating that now after hearing you. And I said, you know what, trade it all in. I mean, of course, you know, you're talking marketplace ministries. Of course I understand that. But, you know, if I had to go back myself, personally, I would go to Bible school. And, you know, when my wife graduated with her master's, do you know that they have a certificate program? And I went to her graduation. And this lady next to me goes, you know, my daughter, she's getting a certificate. You know, and does that mean anything? And I said, you know, lady, I have a JD, I have an MBA, and I would trade it all for that certificate of Bible. So please, don't look down on that. Yeah. You know, this is the most important book is the Bible. Yeah. Forget everything else. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Thank you.
Because you need people who are trained in the Word of God. They know what the Word of God says to set the baseline.
Amen. Yeah.
For everything else in society.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what's lacking right now. Leaders with a good theological baseline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pastor.
And that's why we have the movie theaters, which translates into excuses that we come up with from following Christ. Now, it takes discipline. We talk about discipline. We talk about taking a risk, having the faith that it takes. Yeah, now, you have to take a risk. You got into filmmaking.
Yeah.
And tell us about that. Tell us about what kind of risks that you took, because you see, everybody, they diss, you know, Christian films. Be honest. We say, another Christian film, substandard acting. I can't stand the way he says those words. It's all about Jesus Christ. How can I take my friend to this thing?
Yeah.
How do you react to criticisms like that?
Well, I'm, you know, I used to react in tears. But, you know, one of the things I've learned, Pastor Owen, my wife and I, we went to Fiji. We've been to Fiji 7 times in 1 year. And we went to a small little church one time made out of bamboo, you know, and they had, like, you know, hardwood, you know, teak wood for benches. What if I went into the church and my wife and I said, you know, this is not a really fancy church. You know, it just has bamboo. It has no air conditioning. Honey, let's get out of here. And we left. We would have missed an important message. But what we're seeing with people who belittle Christian films or anything, even handing out tracts, is we're becoming too hip, a society. We're becoming too cool for Jesus. And guys, you can't be too cool for Jesus. You can't be John Stewart cool. You know, I'll do that later. And that's kind of, you know, that's a little too. I'll stick with Avatar. Thank you. And that's what the society, this lukewarm body of Christ that we've become. That Jesus said would be in the last days. And I'm seeing this. You know, my wife and I, we go out in the streets and we hit Waikiki, you know, on our spare time. In fact, at Avatar, you know, Ward 16. And I'm, by the way, guys, I'm not judging you. This is ourselves as a TV addict, movie addict, my wife too as well, as a former nurse would turn the television on when she came in. But what we found is that by eliminating television from our life, and we've done it for years now, we've engaged ourselves in the community every single day. It forces yourself, because otherwise you're just going to sit on the couch staring at each other, you know, and no one wants to do that. You just want to turn turn the television on, you know. But when you can go into a life group every single day, evangelize every single night, you're going to find that the Lord is going to bless you, and you don't understand it until you actually do it. You know, I challenge every one of you today. Can you turn a freaking television off for just 1 week? Can you do that for me, not for Pastor Owen, because you're going to send him the emails.
But can you? The last word you just said, I'll get emails about that.
Pastor Owen.
Go bleep on that whole thing.
Okay, yeah. Hollywood, sorry.
Yes, sorry, you're forgiven. We forgive you. God extends grace to everyone.
Thank you.
But, you know, to do that, it takes discipline. Now, it didn't happen for you overnight where you just left television.
No,
how did that happen for you?
Well, backtrack, just a step back, Pastor Owen. You know, I was so addicted to football. And again, guys, it's nothing wrong. I know your son plays football. I play football. I play basketball. You know, the body is the temple of the Lord. We're supposed to keep it holy and well fit. But I was so addicted. I watched college football Saturday. I watched pro football every Sunday. I loved football, and I loved the smell of it. You know, I would look at personal injury reports, fly to Vegas from L.A., and bet, you know, heavily. You know, you're talking like thousands. And one day the Lord said, Tim, and this was years ago, when I was walking early as a Christian, the Lord said, would you give up one football game for me and go to a prison ministry?
Just one game.
And I said, okay, I will, Lord. And I went to this maximum security cell in San Diego. I drove 2 hours from L.A. And I get there, and the guy, you know, this clerk goes, okay, before you go inside, you're going to have to sign a no-hostage policy. And I said, a no-hostage policy? What is that? If you're taken hostage, we can't help you. I said, I'm not signing that. Come on, I gave up football for this. Well, I signed it. Okay, I signed it, and I went in, and guess what? There's four guys in the yard. Just four guys. It was like out of a movie. You have guys lifting weights, and the guy who was a lead prisoner, who was a Christian, said, all right, y'all, stop lifting weights. You guys in that group, come over here. These four guys have something to tell you. Come over here now. And these guys are like, trotting over really angry, and I'm like, I've never done this before, Lord. I was like, what'd you get me into? So the first guy goes, I was charged with murder in the third degree. I spent time in jail, but Jesus Christ changed my life, and he can change yours. And the prisoner started shouting, And then the second guy said, oh, I was a bank robber. I robbed 30 banks, spent time in jail, but Jesus Christ changed my life and can change yours. And the prisoner's like crazy. Third guy, same thing. I was a gang member. Then they give me the microphone, a guy who's never had a speeding ticket, And I took the microphone, and I just said, well, I was a mean filmmaker, and now I'm a nice filmmaker. But the worst day of my life, and I ended up spending 6 hours in the maximum security cell, and by the end, I had prisoners in tears. And they said, you know what? I can't imagine you even being in jail, but for you to come here, that courage that you showed, and I said, it's not courage. And then they say, you blessed us. And I said, no, you blessed me more than I ever blessed you. I walked out of four chambers into the bright sunlight of San Diego, looked up like a free man, just released out of prison. I said, Lord, thank you. This is the best day of my life. I love you. And you know what? I never watched football again, Pastor Ellen. That was the last time. Now, I'm not saying that, you watching football is a sin. It's not. It's not a sin. But for me, I was addicted to it. And giving it up was the most incredible thing. Now, if the Lord had told me, Pastor Owen, that Sunday, you're never going to watch football again, Tim, I would have said, Lord, what did I do? I'm Job. Just throw me, with sores, the Lord. Give me the whole shabam. But it wasn't that way with the Lord. He's very gracious, compassionate, kind, slow to anger and mercy. And the Bible says he realized, I'm going to break this guy's addiction, but I'm just going to do it one Sunday. Yeah. And that one Sunday is all it took. And there's some of you out here tonight, this morning, that needs to break something. What are you willing to give up for Christ this morning? Just one thing. Give up that trip to Vegas, because I know a lot of you guys are planning a trip to Vegas. Yeah. All right? And go on a mission trip to Nepal. You know what the Vegas national anthem is? I've got, it says, boop, 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 boop. Everywhere you go, you hear this noise.
Pake's national anthem is ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Mindless, yeah. Hit me with a blackjack. You have a 20 and the dealer has a 6 and he pulls over a 16, 5, a 21. How many times has that happened to me, And now, giving up gambling, giving up football, giving up the whole thing. Can I tell you something, guys? When disaster strikes, my wife and I are completely at peace. And that is because of the Lord. No matter what happens, this recession that's hit everybody, we've had the three best years of our life selling Christian films. It's just been incredible blessing. But that's what the Lord does. We're fearless. We're fearless of lawsuits. When we did our first successful Christian film, we were sued by two of the actors. And they got the biggest entertainment law firm to try to stop us. Pro bono. You're talking about a law firm that doesn't need the money, and they're trying to stop this poor little Christian filmmaker making this poor little Christian film, and they sued me in federal and state court. And I beat them both, but you're a judge, Pastor Ellen. The judge, on the day of the temporary restraining order, she goes, now let me get this straight. You agreed to be in Tim Chay's movie, is that correct? Yes, Your Honor, yes. But you didn't agree to give him your publicity rights for your image? That's right, Your Honor. I've never heard of such a thing. Get this case out of court, And then they said, you know, you have every right, Mr. Che, to countersue these two actors for malicious prosecution. And you know what I said? You know, I said, Your Honor, I can't wait. You know, that was the secular side of me. So I went back and I built this lawsuit up. You know, it was like a mile thick to deliver on these guys. And then the Lord said, no, Tim, you turn the other cheek. And if you sue them, you're just going to be a litigator for the rest of your life. You're not going to be a filmmaker. Mm. And I made 5 Christian movies after that. And, you know, I can tell you guys, you're going to be sued. You're going to be. And, you know, the beautiful thing, Pastor Owen, that's maybe why Jesus says, give away all your wealth.
Yeah.
Because you don't fear lawsuits. Yeah. You don't fear these evil people coming against you. You know what I mean? It's like they're always going to come against you.
Yeah.
As a Christian believer, you will be persecuted. You will be prosecuted by these people.
But we get that confused many times. I mean, those scriptures that we have printed in your bulletin, many of them are Tim's favorite scriptures, and it's helped him to discipline himself about looking at evil and calling it good. We compromise that so many times.
Yeah, we sure do.
You know, we look at life and, you know, going back to these so-called substandard Christian films, we think, oh, you know, that's not worth. But you're telling me one time about what would the Lord say if he watched these Christian films? And what would he say on the mountain when he was feeding the 5,000?
Oh, yeah.
Tell him about that.
Well, you know, Pastor Owen, I mean, first off, you know, when people bash Christian films, I'm always gentle with them. And I just go, look, what would the Lord have fed? He fed them fish and bread. He didn't feed them Roman caviar, right? You know, with a cappuccino afterwards. You know, he fed them fish and bread because he wanted to get the message of Jesus Christ through to them. And I think this is what we're so lacking today. You know, like the second verse, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's the prelude to that in 2 Chronicles is, should we help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Well, who are these people who hate the Lord? We know it's Hollywood, guys. We know that. You know, I've been in Hollywood 17 years. I've been in meetings where a producer would say, and he probably thought I was Buddhist because I'm Asian, you know. But he said, you know, I want to portray Christians as monsters. He said that to my face, and I was like, Christians as monsters? Can you imagine that? Any other group of people saying, I want to portray them as monsters. Why are Christians punching bags to the rest of the world? Because Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. You know, and I just wonder to myself, how many of us call good evil and evil good? How many of us help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? And the Lord says, the wrath of the Lord will be upon you. And that's a very heavy indictment, guys. That's more than discipline. That's really, really a serious indictment. And, you know, Pastor Owen, I know you have this piece of paper here, but can I show you, when I speak to youth groups around the country and to churches around the country, I show them this piece of paper because it's so convicting to people. And guys, I'm not trying to rain on your parade this morning, you know, because that's not my thing. I'm trying to bless you guys because my wife and I were so in the world. But now, because of that, this last year, you know, we've given up television, we've given up everything, you know, football games, etc. That may not be where the Holy Spirit's leading you, okay? But I know that in this last year, we've traveled to Fiji 7 times, Australia 4 times, we've been to 2 world red carpet premieres, we've shot, you know, this movie with Hillsong, and I don't think any of that would have come if I had not listened to the Lord and given up one single thing. And again, as Pastor Owen prays in the end, what are you willing to give up today for the Lord? What have you given up this whole year for the Lord? Yeah. Think about that. Now, coming to church, you're giving up a lot, guys. And can I tell you, when you give here, it's no joke, guys. They need the money in this desperate times. My brother's a pastor. And, you know, he says, I can't just go to the congregation and stand up here and say, I need money. You know, I mean, they're going to think you're crazy, right? But he says, I can't do that because these televangelists have just made it so difficult that if I mention money, people will immediately hook me up with these televangelists. So in the meantime, my brother goes broke. My brother goes broke because he can't tell the country. He's too shy to say, look, we need money, guys. We really do to survive, to be a church. And donations are dropped everywhere. You know, and you'd even told me that you guys are struggling. Well, what's going on here? Why can't we say we're struggling, we need money? Because the stupid televangelists. You know, on the 800 numbers, you'll get 2 CDs, get this one for free, call 800. And you know, it's like we've become so jaded because of these people who are going to stand before Christ someday for what they did. You know, gaining money on behalf of the Lord. I don't even think we're going to see some of these people in heaven. But, you know, by the way,
yeah,
we'll pray for them.
We'll keep praying for them.
Aren't you glad I'm not a pastor? I'm only a filmmaker. My wife goes, Tim, they're going to kick you out of the church. I'm so sorry, but you know, I get emotional about this because
you
know it's. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you do.
I'm out.
No, but what you're showing here is very. It's a great illustration because what you're going to have to do is either fold it or draw a line, and it says,
right, yeah.
"This is my life with Christ. This is my life." As a Christian, but not living my life as Christ.
Right.
You got to draw a line somewhere.
That's exactly right. And you know, if you just put simply on the right-hand side, put how many hours last month that you truly spent doing for the Lord. In other words, evangelizing to your coworker, going on the streets of Waikiki. You can always go with my wife, guys. Any of you guys can come. You know, anything, put the number of hours that you put on this hand side. And then on this hand side, put the number of hours that you spent watching television. Watching a stupid reality TV show will get you nowhere. You know, watching some stupid... Charlie Rose, that's fine. You don't have to put this here. Charlie Rose is fine. I love that show. But any other, you know, 2 and a Half Men, definitely put that here. You know, and then add them up. And you're going to see it's shocking, it's convicting that maybe the Lord is pricking your conscience. And then if you flip it over, I'm sorry, Pastor, yeah, real quick. Put how much you gave to the Lord. If you dropped a buck into the offering plate, put that down, $4 a month. And then how much did you give Time Warner, that evil five companies we're talking about? $120, you know? So, I mean, these are things that, for me and my wife, who no longer subscribe to cable television, we don't know anything about that, it will make you think about, if I give this up for the Lord, if I give up cable TV for the Lord, truly, what is that going to do for me? Do you think Jesus is going to be actually saying on the day of judgment, man, you gave up cable TV? Dude, what were you thinking? You know, you missed all these great shows. Mm. You know, I mean, I would have watched every one of them. You're stupid.
What about Korean drama? Which side does that
Korean call? Drama is on the middle.
Hey, Tim, Tim, I can talk with you for hours, and we have, you know, and every lunch hour, every time we talk, I just love hearing the passion that you have for Christ and just getting the word out there. What's your next project? What's your next movie?
Well, you know, Pastor Don, we have three in pre-production, but can I tell you something? When you told me your story, with you and Roy Yamamoto, do you know that my wife and I, we were both in tears? And I've been pitched many, many stories, guys, you know, being in 17 years in Hollywood. When you pitched me the simplicity of you being a judge, and how Roy Yamamoto was an ex drug addict waiting for his life sentence, and you New Hopers supported him. I was thinking a big vision here. I was thinking a big, big movie, you know, that will reach out, because it's got to reach out beyond New Hope, guys. We've got to show this movie beyond New Hope to the world. Yeah. So this is a movie that must be made, Pastor Owen. And if I can just ask the audience, how many would like to see it? Yeah, bye-bye.
We're going to need a lot of free extras, so free extras. But you know, Tim, we love hearing your heart, your passion. I mean, you convict us that if we're going to live for Christ, we live for Christ, no matter what the risks are. We step out in faith, but it takes disciplining ourselves to take those steps, and we're so glad that you and Susan have been such great examples. We want to continue to pray for you and wish you the best. Would you thank Tim Che?
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, what I love about him is that he knows exactly what God is asking him to do, no matter what it takes. Now, Hollywood is a tough scene, but he's throwing himself out there. Critics, criticisms, this Christian film thing, he's doing the best he can with what God has given him. What about you? What about your own lives? What is it that, as Tim was saying, what is it that you need to just set aside? Maybe just one thing that God is asking of you. Maybe it's just pride, personal pride, or anger, or something. Can we just be a church that says, once and for all, no more excuses. If I'm going to live for Christ, I'm going to live for Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let me pray for you. Lord God, thank you for Tim and Susan and just the ministry they provide in ways, Father, that we never get to see. For we see films, we see movies on the screen, but not knowing what's happening behind the scenes. And there's so many ways and times that they could have walked away from that, made excuses, moving them away from the feast that you prepared for them, but they've stuck with their guns, they've disciplined themselves, they've taken some risks,
and they've walked in faith. And Lord, we got to hear just the testimony of blessings that have flowed from that. For our own lives, Father, we want to do the same. We're done with excuses. The table that you called us to, whether it be for our marriage, our relationship, for our future, no more excuses. We want to walk in the ways that you've set out for us. Help us to do so, oh God. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, some of you may be here, and your first step may be accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You've been too sensitized by the world. And maybe your decision not to accept him is because of what friends may say, what people may think. But today's the day you got to come to a decision that Jesus Christ needs to be your Lord and Savior. But you have to open up your heart and receive him. It's not a hard thing to do. All you need to do is in your heart say, yes, Lord. Lord, I want to follow you. Man, I'm tired following the world. It's let me down too many times. Father, I will follow you. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? You're saying, yes, that's me. I want to accept him as Lord and Savior in my life. Yeah, brother here, good. In front, good. Right here, sister, yeah. God sees your heart. Anyone else? Keep your hands up so the Lord can see your heart there. And on the side here, good, yeah. The back, good. Put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I've been walking with Jesus, but I have come up with excuses along the way. It's time I set them aside. Father, help me. I'm going to need some strength to put aside those excuses and follow you completely. Lord, would you give me the strength? If that's you, would you raise a hand? Say, yeah, help, Lord, help me to do so. Yeah, a lot of us going through that. You can put your hands down. If you said yes to Jesus for the first time, we have a yes packet available for you, completely free. It has a Bible in there. Some material that's going to help you to understand your relationship with him. As you exit, people outside will be holding up this yes packet. Go up to them and tell them the decision you made, and we'd love to give it to you absolutely free. Let's say this prayer before we leave. I'll say the prayer. Would you repeat it with me with all your hearts? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I give you my life. Without excuses, I will follow you. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to him in Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer today. We want to leave differently than when we came in. We live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say together, amen. Amen. Would you applaud those who said yes for the first time? Let's stand as we sing this last song.